Good morning. It is 10 a.m. We are here today, January 6, 2022, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing of OPAPA 21-010, John Dell International Inc., DBA JMI Edison, versus the Guam International Airport Authority. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jared Hernandez and Tirza Bagana. Will appellant JMI please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. I am Joshua Walsh, here for the appellant JMI Edison. JMI Edison's institutional representative, Mr. Ed Elau, is present on this Zoom call this morning.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GIAA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. William Brennan from the Areola Law Firm on behalf of the AB Wampat International Airport Authority. Present on behalf of the airport is Mr. Henry Cruz, the Supply Management Administrator.
Thank you. Will interested party Aircraft Service International Inc., DBA Menzies Aviation, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. This is R. Marcel Johnson on behalf of Aircraft Service International Inc., doing business as Menzies Aviation. We do have one institutional representative, and that is Mr. Rodney Payette.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Good morning, Council. Have we all had the chance to meet?
Yes.
Was there any resolution or is there no resolution?
There was no resolution, Your Honor.
Okay.
We met, I'll just put this on the record, Your Honor. We had, a couple of good faith discussions about what our clients' positions were. And my understanding is that both the airport and Menzies want to move forward on their motions. Our perspective would be that there wouldn't be much to do, especially in light of the COB letter, and other than just proceed to trial so we can develop the record for everybody. But we did have a couple of conversations, Your Honor.
Okay. So then let's get into motions. I believe, would it be Mr. Brennan?
Correct. So the airport has filed a motion to dismiss, and then my understanding is Menzies also has motions to dismiss and for summary judgment pending. So whatever order, I guess, Mr. Public Auditor, you'd like to take them, we're prepared.
Why don't we start with the motion to dismiss with you and Mr. Johnson, and then we'll have Mr. Walsh respond.
Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor. I'm not going to, go over everything in our motion in detail. I think I would just like to highlight the three areas that we believe dismissal is appropriate of this matter. Principle reason we put forward for dismissal is a lack of jurisdiction for the Office of Public Accountability, and for you, sir, the public auditor. Essentially, what JMI has done is they raised a protest at agency level saying that this RFP, there is an implied requirement of a contractor's license, and a license issued by the contractor's license board. At the agency level, the airport denied that protest saying, essentially, we don't have any jurisdiction to determine that. But I note a factual circumstance that is relevant here, Mr. Public Auditor. That is that Menzies, my understanding is they are the incumbent provider of these services at the airport and have been for some time. And to our knowledge, the COB has not taken action saying that they were doing something improper or they were operating without a required license. We believe that the COB has the jurisdiction to make that determination, and it's critical, a distinction we made in our motion that I think was glossed over in JMI's opposition. That is, they're not just asking you to come in and say a license is required under these RFP. They're asking you to come in, Mr. Public Auditor, and say, under this RFP, the specific license that the GCLB issues, that provider needs to have is XYZ. What's clear from the protest level to the agency level and up until we received the letter last week from the COB to Mr. Elau is that it was kind of a moving target. Is it a general contractor's license? Is it a subspecialty classification license? Is it just an endorsement? And who needs to hold that license? We believe that the OPA is not equipped to make that determination. And while JMI has cited to authorities recently that say that in a grading situation where there's going to be clear grading entrenching and there's a clear facial license requirement at the CLB for grading entrenching, the parties didn't necessarily dispute that before you, Mr. Public Auditor. That's the G4S case. As well in the, I think it was Telecom for Tomorrow case, the DOE case, the parties didn't necessarily dispute that for telecommunications related work, a GCLB subspecialty telecom license was required, right? That there was no dispute before you. This case, the distinction is the parties are disputing the requirement of a license. And that's why that factual circumstance is important, because CLB has never required this license before, has never come to the airport or to its provider of these services, the incumbent for the past few years, and said, license X is required. So for them to come at the agency level and say, the ranking of offerers was incorrect because this license was required, the agency's hands were tied. Is the airport supposed to go out and say, CLB, we're doing this work up here. We think these licenses should apply. Therefore, we're going to require them, even though you've not required it for the past couple of years. That's the conundrum this protest put the agency in. And that's why the airport has been very careful from agency level to now this appeal to say, if CLB comes in and says there is a license requirement, the airport will act accordingly. I say the airport will act accordingly because that's not the end all be all of this procurement dispute. There are certain actions the airport could take that could refine the scope of services, perhaps, if we go forward with negotiations. That's all allowed in the RFP process. But until the CLB makes that determination, we don't think this appeal is properly before the OPA. It's beyond your jurisdiction. And quite frankly, Mr. Public Auditor, we just don't think your office, as you know, spread thin as your resources are already, has the resources to go out and actually classify this license requirement. Go out and say, let me look at the scope of services. Okay, GIAA, what we think is you'll need a general contractor's license. You'll need a, you know, let's just go with what was in the case law. You need a telecom license. You also need a grading and trenching license. The OPA shouldn't make those determinations. If the CLB makes that determination and then it's brought as a valid protest, then the agency should contend with it, as that's what we're asking to do. If the CLB makes that determination and it's put before the agency appropriately, the airport can take action. Until then, our position on our first basis for dismissal is that the OPA does not have jurisdiction. This is in accord with the JRN case and the Department of Labor wage and hour determinations, as well as earlier this year, last year, a few months ago, the GTA case, where you dismissed without prejudice, told them go to the PUC, have the PUC make the determination of applicability of the tariff requirements, and then come back before me on an appropriate protest. That's the first basis we argue for dismissal. The second basis we offer specific to this license requirement is timeliness, Mr. Public Auditor. And I'll just give you a brief timeline. As you're aware from the record, a review of the procurement record, this procurement was solicited as an RFP at the end of July at a board meeting, a public board meeting on August 26th. The ranking of the two proposals that were submitted was announced publicly. When that was ratified by the GIAA board, Menzies, the successful, or I should say the higher ranked offer in this case, was announced publicly at that meeting. I know we've submitted documents showing that JMI representative, at least one, was present at that virtual meeting. That was August 26th. Then on August 30th, I think is the latest date that they would, no one can dispute, they received written notice of the ranking, that one was ranked higher than the other, and therefore they had notice of that ranking. However, JMI waited until September 13th, 14 days later, to investigate the license requirement, notwithstanding that they knew that Menzies was ranked higher than they were. And we think that that's what triggered the newer should have known, that August 26th date, at the very latest, August 30th. Despite that, they did not file their protest with the airport until September 21st. That's beyond the 14 days required. The agency denied their protest on timeliness grounds, and we think that deprives the public auditor of jurisdiction. I don't know how they would dispute that timeline. They might dispute the significance or the triggering point, but that is the timeline we put forward today. And even if you take JMI's position and you say, well, that's a factual determination, I think it's still appropriate on a motion to dismiss so that we can clarify what facts are at issue, right? When was the triggering point? Is that really what we're arguing? Because then that makes sense that we would go forward on a hearing on the merits if they just dispute the triggering point. I don't think they're correct in saying that, you know, they have to wait till we find out. And the day we find out, September 13th, is when it triggers. Because let's take that to its logical conclusion. How long do we have to wait? Could JMI come in next year on a postal worker and say, well, we didn't investigate the license requirement until January 6, 2022. Therefore, notwithstanding you've already awarded it, we're raising a valid protest. And it's timely because we didn't find it out until January 6. That can't be the measuring point. The measuring point should be and must be, just if you consider the normative consequence, the date they found out the higher ranked offerer, and if they believe a license wasn't required, and they showed diligence in investigating that licensure requirement, then they'd have the 14 days from August 26th or when they received written notice, August 30th. In both events, they missed both because they didn't file their protests at the agency level until September 21st, respectively 24 and 20 days later. And the last basis of our motion to dismiss is specific to their record allegation. Essentially, JMI is coming in and saying the record was improperly kept. Therefore, you must affirm our protest and now our appeal. We think that they are lacking a facial requirement to plead that basis. They have alleged no materiality to the ranking of offers. They just come in and say, we didn't get the proposals. Therefore, this procurement, something's off. Mr. Public Auditor, find that something's off. Supreme Court case law is clear from the Telegram case. They must allege materiality. They failed to do that. And again, on a motion to dismiss, this is appropriate because it narrows the issues for the merits hearing. Do we have to go in and say that the regulations say that proposals are not public documents? That the statute says the OPA must promulgate regulations on the handling of the record of procurement? No, I'm not aware of any regulations that are promulgated. But if we step back, Mr. Public Auditor, and we look at what the airport did, the airport tried to reconcile the lack of regulation specific to the record against the regulation that says the proposals are not public documents, only the one that for the offeror that is awarded the contract is public. So that tells us that if it's pre-award, the proposals aren't public yet. And that's really what the response at the agency level and our response on this appeal at this level has been, is that, look, we're not saying you're not entitled to the proposals forever. It's just a timing. You jumped the gun. You asked for the proposals while we're in negotiations. You asked for the fee negotiation communications while we're in negotiations. And if, as JMI is aware, negotiations with Menzies fall through, or if the OPA makes an order that Menzies should be disqualified to JMI, it affects the competitive playing field, because why should they be able to see what the bottom line for the airport may or may not have been, what the airport is willing to negotiate in the RFP process? And that's where we asserted the deliberative process privilege. We said, we're still in process of making this award. These negotiations are not public yet as part of the, to the extent they're part of the procurement record. But again, we're reconciling those two competing provisions, that you get the record, but we're not admitting that you get it pre-award, and we don't think that the law requires that. And we're not aware of any judicial determination or finding from this body that says otherwise. So our position again on the third basis for dismissal is as to their record-related allegation, they fail to allege materiality. They're trying to bootstrap a open government law allegation or alleged violation to their procurement protest. We have, you know, in our agency report, we've said this is not the proper forum. But the failure to allege materiality and just the blanket assertion that something's wrong, therefore they have a valid basis for protest, we think is not properly before you. For those three bases, we ask the OPA to dismiss this appeal by JMI. Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor. Unless you have any other questions, I'll defer to the next counsel.
I'll have questions after I hear everybody. Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, Mr. Public Auditor. I just have a sort of a brief addition to that. We, of course, agree with everything that Mr. Brennan has had to say. Again, to that point, this question is simply outside the jurisdiction of the OPA. Each agency is only limited to the jurisdiction that's granted to it under Guam law. While the OPA does have jurisdiction over procurement appeals, the agency that does have jurisdiction over whether or not a license is required in order to do a specific type of work or a scope of work, or whether a license is required for an entity to do business in Guam at all, is the contractor's licensing board. And so really that is the agency that should be responsible for making this determination here, at least a factual determination on whether or not a CLB license is required. And so I agree with Mr. Brennan that the public auditor should rule as it did in the Pacific Data Systems case and turn this over to the agency that really has jurisdiction over this matter and the specialty to deal with the matter. Now, I understand that Mr. Walsh will probably mention that the CLB has issued the findings and decisions in this. However, it's important to point out, as we've learned during the procurement hearing for the TFT appeal, as when we listened to Ms. Nita Bailey explain how these decisions were determined and came about, that these are completely deficient. And that's something that the public auditor at least has an understanding within the jurisdiction of the public auditor to see. I mean, there are clear violations of the administrative adjudication law, clear violations of the open government law that have played into the creation of these findings and decisions. I mean, these findings and decisions weren't even given to my client until we complained about the fact that they weren't given to us, despite the fact that they were supposedly CC'd to us. I spoke with Tom Keeler, who's the attorney at the Attorney General's office, who works with the CLB, and he hadn't heard about these decisions at all. He asked me to email them to him because he hadn't been consulted with them. We're also a little concerned with the fact that we went to a notice of appeal conference at the CLB, and we were informed by the CLB investigator, Mr. Marcus Fenonia, that we would have an opportunity for a hearing before a decision was issued. And that process apparently was not followed. So not only are they violating the open government law, violating the administrative adjudication law, they're violating their own standards of procedure, and then lying to the people who these decisions affect. So, I mean, we're actually quite concerned with how the CLB is addressing this. And so I don't think these positions are contrary. I think the CLB does have jurisdiction over this. The CLB appears to be addressing it, however, in a terribly flawed way that it's doing it now. But that process needs to play out before the public auditor can address this matter. And so we ask that the public auditor dismiss this without prejudice so that it can be addressed before the CLB, which is the agency that needs to address this. It needs to address it properly before the OPA can discuss it.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Public Auditor. I agree with the other councils that I think the matters have been well briefed for your office. I do want to add a few things. And I think the initial point, Your Honor, is this distinction between what airport and interested party are saying, you know, there is no jurisdiction at the OPA over this versus what I think they're really saying, which is, you know, there's an analysis of another agency that's got to be involved here. So I think for the first idea that there's no jurisdiction overall, even the arguments this morning, Your Honor, I think militate against that. We have a procurement protest. We have a decision and order from the agency on the procurement protest. And the law says you go next to the public auditor for an appeal. So this idea that there's no subject matter jurisdiction, as the airport writes in its brief, is just not true. We all are in agreement this morning that this is a procurement appeal. So I think there is very clearly jurisdiction for the public auditor to review these matters. Now, I think it's important also to note what the airport is saying here in its effort to get this case dismissed. It says, well, the CLB has never come to the GIAA, has not come to us. So this is all for the contractor's licensing board. They don't come to us and say, these are the licenses you need. And I think that, Your Honor, that's exactly the reason why it is important for the procurement division of GovGuam, the appeal powers that you have, to weigh in on this case. It is not for the CLB to come, at least our position is, to come to the airport and say, hey, we saw you're doing this. This is what you need to do. The airport pays contracting officers, has a procurement division to come up with specifications. So it is incumbent on the agencies to go figure out what specifications they need to put in here. And I think ultimately what we're beginning to learn, and I think from that TFT case, and it seems from the record here, is that what the agencies are doing instead is, I'm not going to make a responsibility determination. We'll just leave it up to the bidders to show us that they're responsible. And I think that is 100% within the OPA's wheelhouse to weigh in on, to go to agencies and say, you got to do your specifications consciously. And I suspect that if we get to a trial on the merits here, that we will develop those and see what were actually GIAA's processes to determine that no CLB license was required. Not that the process was, the CLB never came to us and said, you need a license. It's that, what is GIAA doing to determine what licenses are required? So for instance, you know, what did GIAA do to determine that the Areola Law Office was qualified to sit here and argue these cases today? You know, what are the processes in specifying those professional services? So I this is a procurement appeal. It clearly is within your jurisdictional review. And the issues about the CLB are procurement issues. What should the agencies be looking at when they're making the specifications here? Our notice of appeal, Your Honor, and I invite the OPA to look at it, does not sort of say that the airport got the wrong license. We're not hiding the ball. It's that the airport specified you needed to comply with Guam law and apparently issued an award notice to an entity that didn't do that. And that is the question before the OPA, and that's why this matter should move to trial. On the idea of the timeliness argument, Your Honor, the airport argues again that this is an untimely protest. Again, that's an issue that's a merits item for the appeal that you will be deciding on, and we will be putting facts about that. But what the airport is saying here is that JMI didn't do what it needed to do to protest in time. Well, JMI did not know about the lack of the licenses because JMI, and the record shows this, and our briefing on it shows this. JMI, when it found out about the intended award to Menzies, went to the airport and said, we'd like to see the record on that. We want to see the record. Now, the airport said, well, you're not getting anything on that. So it was when the airport didn't provide the records and JMI Edison went to the CLB to make its investigation there, the protest came within 4 days of the CLB giving the answer. So if there's any delay here beyond 14 days from this intended award notice, it's because the airport wouldn't give these records up. And that's on that record idea, Your Honor, this idea that there's no foundation here to complain about the procurement record, therefore this should just go away. Again, that's a merits issue which should be developed at trial. But this is not a backdoor Sunshine Act fight. The JMI Edison wanted records from the airport, wanted the procurement record, and this is in our briefing. The airport comes back and doesn't say that it's a privileged item, you're not getting it. The airport comes back to JMI Edison when JMI Edison is seeking these documents in its Sunshine Act request and says, we have to put them together. We have 500 pages to put together. And oh, by the way, COVID delay. We need time because of COVID. It's 2021. The end of the year, but COVID gives us a delay opportunity. That is the reason for the protest. That's the notice of appeal, because it looks like the airport, and we will develop this at the trial, assembles the procurement record after the award, as opposed to how the law requires, which is you keep a procurement record as you go. You keep the procurement record and you cannot make an award until procurement record. So I think that's the basis for the protest issue, is that if the airport's Sunshine Act response is, there's no record to give you, we have to assemble 500 extra pages, and COVID, neither one of those is an excuse for not keeping a procurement record. So, and then the last item, Your Honor, on this idea of the CLB issue that Menzies has with what we've submitted to supplemental authority. Yes, the CLB issued a decision. I thought it was important to provide that to the OPA for your review, just like G4S did recently before, Your Honor, in the TFT appeal. But I think what Mr. Johnson's concerns are about the CLB shows why this should go to trial. His concerns about how Ms. Nina Bailey and the CLB presented these decisions that are going to weigh into how the public auditor is going to decide, that is fodder for his cross-examination for Ms. Bailey at the eventual trial here. And I'm also unaware, and I've been provided no notice about in the week that you've given us, what is Menzies actually doing vis-a-vis that CLB decision, other than talking to Mr. Keeler? I don't know if there's a court process afoot or a writ process afoot. So in the absence of anything like that, Your Honor, I don't see any reason why the record shouldn't be developed before you in a trial in this matter in the coming weeks, whenever our trial gets set for, Your Honor, based on this. So there's clearly jurisdiction on this matter because it's a procurement appeal. Nobody disputes it's a procurement appeal. We are not asking Your Honor to weigh in on the idea that, you know, this specific work requires this specific license, as opposed to the airport needed to have specified you needed a license. It's for the airport to do that. Specifications can't be accidental. And ultimately, Your Honor, the reason this case needs to proceed to trial, Judge, is this world of the accidental deletions of specifications from the airport to make the airport's procurements easier, or government of Guam agencies easier. Rather than take the time to specify clearly these are what's required, or take the time specifically to consciously delete specifications, we don't think a CLB license is required here. The agencies are not doing that. The airport is one of our premier agencies. Now, I haven't been to the airport in 2 years, and I feel bad about that, but the airport is one of our premier agencies. Their procurement processes should be conscious and clear, and they should not simply be saying, do the right thing to contractors or bidders. The airport should be making a responsibility determination. And for all of those reasons, Your Honor, we think the motions to dismiss should be denied. We should proceed to a trial and develop the facts there in these administrative proceedings. Thank you, Your Honor.
Just so that all three of you will hear it, I agree that there are pre-procurement planning issues that the airport should have known that what kind of licenses were or should be required for whatever work they were doing. I mean, this is like the issue, and we're doing a performance audit. We couldn't do a protest or a procurement appeal on the Ukadu project, but pre announcing the procurement, GPA should have known that a facility as big as what they were doing would require a high clearance from EPA. That should have been known. To find out 2 years after the procurement award, and after they get the PUC to approve the change order is questionable. They should have known that something this size would require a certain type of a clearance, or the airport should have known that this kind of a project would have required this kind of a license. And DOE should have known that doing certain things in the walls or in the ceiling would require a certain kind of license. And so I'm trying to figure out whether or not that all goes to responsibility, which is within the jurisdiction of the OPA to determine. But I'm trying to figure out exactly what would be the benefit of going to trial. I mean, we've gone to hearing on one of the cases that you and Mr. Johnson are on, and you both know that I know that there was a problem at the licensure board. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what kind of a decision I would fashion in this case that would make those kinds of changes. The excuse of the GLU, the licensure board, the GLB, never came up and said that we needed a license. I don't buy. I mean, that the fact that no one complained, and for years people have been doing things that they shouldn't have been doing without a certain license is no excuse to continue to do it. But I'm just trying to figure out what benefit would be to go forward, or would there be a benefit of granting Mr. Johnson's motion to dismiss without prejudice, and that this go before the contractor's license board, which will then do whatever it needs to do. And when it does find that a certain license is required, and with board making that determination with their legal counsel, you would have an easy time coming back in this case and say the airport failed in its pre-planning, and it failed to determine responsibility, and the whole thing's out. Right now, it's all questionable. You bring in Miss Denny or whatever her name is to testify again, or even maybe Mr. Orsini. But there's still problems there that have to be addressed. And I'm still wondering, I know that I can't determine the license, but I can't determine responsibility. And the problem that we're having currently is there's going to be the question of whether or not Mr. Orsini's letter of the 23rd or the 27th or whatever it is that he sent it out should be given any weight, since it doesn't have the blessing of the board.
Yeah. Mr. Public Auditor, if I could be heard, I think I apologize for interrupting, but I think that's one of the distinctions I'm trying to make between our motion to dismiss and Menzies, is that the airport's position is not that a license is not required or a license is required. It's that one wasn't explicitly required of the RFP. And I get that you're saying there's no excuse for allowing an operator to, you know, have done it for so long, but I just need to point out, this is an RFP. I mean, negotiations are ongoing. So when you say you're allowed to determine responsibility, that would preempt first the agency's ability to do it. And then the second point I'd make is...
No, but in the record, could you have... Should, I mean, the RFQ should have determined that Menzies was not qualified before you got to the RFP. You should have determined whether or not they were qualified.
I think two things.
And then determine within the record whether or not within the record, as even without anything later, within the record that was submitted at the time, did they show that they had a person that an engineer or whatever contractor that had the requisite Guam contract that would have satisfied the issue? Was that even in there? And that would all be determined if we went to trial. But those would all the things that we needed. And so I'm just saying, there are all of these cases are really bothering me, because this license issue should have been determined and known before the RFP went out. I mean, it should have been something in the RFQ that you should just know that the qualifications of this offeror was not qualified because they didn't have the license, or they couldn't subcontract, or they didn't have somebody who they could subcontract to be able to overcome that license requirement.
If I may address that, Your Honor.
Sure.
I recently had experience working with a construction lawsuit involving the Guam Museum with GITA. Part of the issue that we had is that nobody at GITA has any experience in construction. Same thing applies with all these, with this licensure issue. Nobody at GDOE has any necessary qualifications to address contractors' licensing issues. Same thing with UOG, same thing with the Guam Police Department. None of these agencies are specialists when it comes to licensure. I like them when the government buys a building or hires somebody to build a building or do any construction, to when a homeowner hires somebody to build a home for them. Or say if my law firm were to hire somebody to build a building for my law firm, I mean, maybe a law firm's a bad example, but if a homeowner were to hire somebody to build their home, they have no experience in understanding what licenses somebody would need to do that. That's the reason why they hire somebody who has that, who's capable of doing that, who has that experience and has the knowledge to do that. And that person should know what licenses they need in order to conduct business. And it's the CLB's responsibility to make sure that people who have businesses where they do that type of work that requires construction licenses have those types of licenses. So I think it would be improper to put the burden on the agencies, every single one of these agencies, to know exactly which contractor's license every one of their contractors is required to have, because they simply are a purchaser here. And if you look to 5 GCA 5248, specifications shall not include requirements which unnecessarily restrict competition. So if you put a requirement saying that each agency now has to start researching and figuring out, without any specialty or expertise in this field, what specific types of licenses are required to do complex and technical work, you're going to have the opposite effect, where people like Menzies, who are essentially taken out of the competition here, are going to be filing protests in front of you because these licenses are not required.
They could subcontract to someone else. They could say, I have a subcontractor, like in one of the other cases that the office is handling, they have a subcontractor who can't.
But some, you're presupposing that this requirement exists, though.
And that's what I mean. There has to be better planning. I just completed a procurement course, the module 4, and that's the big thing that kept 80% of the time should be done pre-issuance of any bid, of any procurement. Otherwise, you're going to spend all the time in protest.
But you're still going to wind up with protest if you make overly restrictive specifications without the knowledge to determine which one of those specifications are required.
But if the agency goes out and gets a contract, someone that's going to go and do the research, and it's going to take all that research. You can't just say, well, I want to have a law firm that's going to do this and not find out whether or not they have somebody on Guam who can possibly make the motion before the Supreme Court to make their motion for admission, for temporary admission. But at least say that I'm affiliated with a Johnson firm, and they're going to make the motion so that I can practice. My practice is in New York, but
it's It's interesting that you point out the temporary admission thing, though. You didn't mention that somebody should already have a Guam law license, though, that they only be capable of temporary admission here. It's the same thing here, where we aren't even at the point where we're signing a contract here. This is even before that. You can't restrict bidding to people who have licenses. Even when you're dealing with law firms, you can't restrict to people who have licenses here. Even if they're capable of having temporary admission here, you have to open it up to them.
But how could you possibly find them to be responsible if they're not going to be able to do the work?
Well, you're presupposing that that's a requirement, though.
And if I could just...
Honor, if I may, briefly.
I apologize.
I hear Mr. Go ahead. I'm Mr. Brennan and then Mr. Walsh.
And I'll be brief. This is the what I was trying to raise earlier, is that this is an RFP. So there are ongoing negotiations, which is, to Mr. Johnson's point, that responsibility determination. I know JMI argues that we've made it already, but that's part of the negotiation process in our estimation. This is not an IFB where all the requirements up front, the responsiveness is determined, and then you go right into responsibility. The scope of work and the price gets negotiated as part of the RFP. So I'll stop there. I have a bit more, but I know.
No, but it was my understanding in class that before an RFP, you really should have an RFQ to determine that first you're qualified. Then you can start negotiating the contract once you determine that they're qualified. But if you don't have it that they're qualified, then why bother to negotiate with them?
And I think if the procurement from scratch, right, if we were saying this is the first time we've ever procured these services, I'd agree. But if the airport has an incumbent who's been providing and they already have that foundation, that would be my response there. But I'll let Mr. Walsh, I cut him off earlier. I apologize, Josh.
Mr. Walsh.
Yes. So it's a couple of points in response to what I heard. Again, Your Honor, the specifications need to be conscious. So if the airport is not even thinking about CLB licensing, either CLB licensing to be put into the bid package before we give an intended award, or a line that says you must get CLB licensing prior to we signing a contract. It needs to be a conscious thought, and there was none of that. As opposed to, for instance, a procurement of a law firm where I suppose an agency could say, you must have a law license and be able to practice law on Guam before you actually start doing the work. But at least that's specified. Here, there's just no thought to it at all. And because there's no thought to it at all, this procurement is treated by the airport, in our view, to be more like a procurement for toilet paper, you know, just get the widgets, as opposed to something more conscious, like what, since when it gets subcontractor and professional help to help it procure an instrument landing system, for instance, or for it to procure the exact things that are required from Black Construction for an airport extended project. You know, the more complex the procurement, Ukudu power plant, for instance, the more the obligation should be onto the agency to go out and do the specific work required of its contracting officers, or hire the professional help to figure out what is the point source requirements that are going to happen for a power plant, or what are the licenses required for a baggage system that uses high voltage electricity. So it needs to be conscious, and nothing we're hearing here is conscious. Your Honor, Mr. Johnson was right. I was going to wave around the CLB letter, but I wave it around for a different reason, Your Honor. I do understand, and I'm not going to pretend that I don't grasp Menzies' concerns with the CLB letter, similar to Mr. Johnson's concerns with the CLB issuance in the G4S appeal that was before you recently. But I do think it's important to put this on the record, Your Honor. This is a CLB determination. It says Contractors Licensing Board. Under any sort of Skidmore or Chevron deference world, one government agency, the OPA, would have no role in invalidating a decision from another agency. That would be
Ms. Bailey said this was open and it's not final when she testified at the OPA, though.
I got that, and we could put that on trial. But the idea that Your Honor, that Menzies is suggesting, or that Your Honor might be considering ignoring the CLB letter until because there may be problems that even Your Honor may feel based on the cross-examination Mr. Johnson developed before G4S and the G4S matter, that is not within the role of the OPA. I do think it's important for me to put that on the record, that this is a government document. We can have a trial and say what it means, and we can explore what it is, but in terms of just sort of sua sponte invalidating it as a record of the government, or as a decision that does say that it's open and ongoing, I think is just not within in the power that the OPA.
But wouldn't we be better off, Mr. Walsh, if knowing what we know from the other cases about that document, and that was the reason why I asked you guys to meet. Because I know that Mr. Brennan wasn't in on that hearing, and he didn't hear the cross-examination that Mr. Johnson did to point out the problems with that. I wanted the three of you to sit down and come to a stipulation that, yeah, there's going to be problems, and this is all going to be pointed out if we go to trial. And why do we want to go through all that trouble? And if we can all agree that if we just go to the CLB and make them make the determination that there is a certain type of contract that is necessary, and that the proposed awardee here does not have that, and neither does anybody that's in the record as the subcontractor or their consultants have the capability being able to do that, then we know that the responsibility wasn't determined before anything moved forward.
If I could offer two responses to that, Your Honor. The first would be that I don't know what the CLB is doing currently. So I think simply dismissing the matter, as you suggest, without prejudice, perhaps a stay would be better. But I don't understand. I don't know what their process is ongoing. I have not had conversations with Mr. Keeler. So, if Your Honor wasn't inclined to let this matter somehow gestate before the CLB first, I'd asked for a continuance of this motion hearing so I can sort of be more intelligent about what those procedures ongoing are. What is actually Menzies filing over there? What are they doing?
That's the problem. Nobody knows what's happening at the CLB.
I understand that's Mr. Johnson's testimony on it. I do think it would be important for us to go figure that out so that I can intelligently understand what the next steps here. But I think secondly, Your Honor, and this is an important point, if Your Honor does not move this matter along and we don't develop the testimony record from Menzies' representative who will testify, where I can talk to the procurement folks at a trial on this, we have, I think, a prima facie belief here that because of the CLB, an unlicensed improper contractor is currently doing work and continues to do work at the airport. So the illegality would continue. So I would say those two things, Your Honor. Just if we go to the CLB, we don't get the OPAs weighing in on whether or not this procurement was done properly vis-a-vis the licenses. And secondly, Your Honor, rather than a dismissal without prejudice, since we already have the CLB weighing in and Your Honor seems inclined to want to figure out what's going over there, I'd ask for a short time to figure that out as well before you dismiss the matter, if that's what you're inclined to do. But again, Your Honor, our position is there's a procurement appeal. There was a decision. There's a procurement. There's a bid protest, a procurement appeal from us following an agency denial of a protest. Those are all the elements that are needed for us to proceed to an administrative proceeding. The motions to dismiss should be denied. We should put the trial on. And if for some reason some court comes by and says to the public auditor's office, this document means nothing, I have great respect for Mr. Johnson's views on administrative issues, but Mr. Johnson is not the one wearing a black robe. If a superior court judge says this is wrong, or arrest these proceedings, or the CLB says, you know what, we are going to have a hearing on January 20th on these things, that's the process to go through. It shouldn't just be because Menzies is learned counsel feels that there's a problem here. Your Honor has seen a cross-examination. So therefore, we just aren't going to give any deference at all to this CLB determination. I think that would just be improper. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson or Mr. Brennan?
I'll let Mr. Johnson go first. He's been waiting. Then I'll go after.
I don't know what to say to that. Even the CLB agrees that's not a final decision. Even the document itself says it's open. The document's a nothing. It's a less than nothing. It's evidence of a violation of Guam law. It's evidence that these people probably could be convicted of a misdemeanor under the open government law. I mean, that's clear to see for anybody. The public auditor is responsible for auditing government agencies. That's perfectly within the purview of the public auditor. We plan on following up with that, but we simply haven't had a chance to do it yet. Point out that was given to us the last business day before the time that this was supposed to go to hearing. We're still in the process of figuring out what's supposed to happen with that. We did contact their attorney, who seems to have no idea what's going on with it. I mean, this is a nothing. It shouldn't be given any credence at all. Even the OPA says that it's open and it's not a final decision. Not the OPA, the CLB.
Yeah. All I'll add, Mr. Public Auditor, is what is the airport? You could see that Menzies and JMI and the CLB have bones to pick with each other, but what is the airport supposed to do in the meantime? If this is not dismissed, I'd like to respond to an issue of a stay, but let's just step back for a second. What is the airport supposed to do? And that's the problem we're trying to raise in this motion to dismiss, is if they have a fight at the CLB and the CLB needs to make a determination. I note paragraph 2 of the decision says, Contractors License Board will find Menzies in violation of X law, which it appears prospective. It hasn't happened yet. And if the airport's supposed to wait, I think the question also becomes, what type of relief can you really order here in a pre-award negotiation phase RFP, even if they're correct? The relief is going to be go back to the agency and figure it out now that they've been found to not have a required license. It's not going to be go award to JMI. That's not how that would work.
I know it won't be. I'll go to give it to JMI, but will find that Menzies is not a responsible bidder.
I think that's where there's an issue, because I think at most, even on the record before you, even if this letter is correct, our position in a remedies brief would be at most, all you could say is Menzies does not have license that's required in these scope of services, then it goes back and the agency takes whatever action it needs to. That's the point, I think, is that what would the relief look like? Because we could go back and negotiate.
But if in the bid proposal, they show nothing else except I've done this for 10 years. I've been in violation for 10 years. I should be able to continue to do this for another 10 years. I'm qualified. If the airport didn't do its proper research and know that it should have required a license, and there was nothing in there that says, well, I've subcontracted XYZ to be my subcontractor, and he has every license under the sun, then at least there's something in the record that shows that the airport made the proper decision in moving forward to negotiating with someone who is qualified under the record.
And if the COB makes that determination and the airport goes back and is able to do that, that's what we're asking for, Mr. Public Auditor. If the COB says license is required and the remedy that the public auditor finds is yes, COB's found license is required, kick it back. Then when we go back to negotiation, which is this still is a pre-award RFP, it's not, no award has been made. I know Mr. Walsh for JMI has said there's a notice of award. There wasn't. There was a ranking of offerors, right? And so if we go back and then we find that a license is required, for example, what if we go back and COB says, and I'm just spitballing because again, it's so opaque and unclear. What if we go back and they say, well, 3% is the work that we require the subspecialty license, electrical contractor license. What if that's all that it is and 97% of the work can proceed? That's subject to negotiation in the RFP process. And that's the stage we're at. And that's what we're talking about. It's not as if this is the end all be all just because CLB finds a license. And that's what I'm saying. What would the relief look like? You'd have to remand it to the agency. So why not dismiss now and let the CLB do its work?
Your Honor, that is not, first of all, that we're on a hearing for a motion to dismiss a motion for summary judgment, not on remedies post-trial. But I do have to say that if you've got one responsible bidder left under an RFP that the airport full-throatedly defends as fine, but part of what its requirements of being licensed under Guam law means you needed to have a CLB license, that means that the award would go for negotiation to JMI. If Your Honor, however, found that the RFP was fatally flawed because it didn't consciously deal with licensing, or the airport had no idea what it was doing when it just said, do the right thing with licenses, then the thing would be canceled. There wouldn't be this opportunity to, as Mr. Brennan is, I think, creatively suggesting, remand it back to the agency so they can negotiate with Menzies. That doesn't work. Unless, and I don't know this, there's actually something in the proposal that shows they have a license or a plan to get a license. But again, Your Honor, I'll point that out as well. That's never been provided to us. I've asked for it. We've asked for it. And we're also hamstrung getting ready for a witness list because I don't know who from Menzies' names are in that proposal to put on our witness list to call. So I look, there will be an opportunity to brief remedies, I'm sure, at some point in this matter. But I just have to say, I disagree with this concept that, you know, if the airport finds that, if the airport was in error in how it issued its RFP, it can't just sort of continue to work with Menzies. That thing gets canceled. If the RFP is fine and the phraseology of get all licenses under Guam law that are required includes a CLB license, that leaves one offeror left. That would be JMI.
You're leaving out one, though. You said there's a plan to get a license, or if they're getting a license, or if they have the ability to subcontract an appropriate.
Those terms do not exist in the RFP. So, you know, if we would brief that, and if the airport's defense of its procurement is that subcontractors who are unnamed and unpointed out to can later come in and do the work, subcontractors who had no responsibility because their names are not disclosed or the provisions of the RFP don't allow it, it would be the same flaw. So I do understand that everybody wants to either run through a master electrician and say, well, that guy's good, so we're good to go, or say, well, go get four subcontractors later that'll do it. That just escapes responsibility review and responsiveness review from what's supposed to be in the bid packet at the day of submission. So but we could explore all of that at a trial, Your Honor. These are the reasons to put somebody.
All right, then fine. What I'll do is I will continue this motion hearing for 3 weeks and give everybody an opportunity to please go to the COB to determine what's going on there. I can't go out and do my own research. you guys come back to me in 3 weeks and let's see where what's happening. Mr. Johnson knows there's this problem. You know there's a problem.
We've entered appearance at the COB, Your Honor. I haven't heard anything from them. I don't know if the airport needs to enter an appearance, but I'm happy to send to Mr. Brennan whatever I get from the CLB or whatever communication I find, unless it's something that's specifically
all right, fine. It just we'll come back in 3 weeks and see where we're at.
Thank you, Your Honor.
For the record, though, can be because we do have the formal hearing that's scheduled for the 14th. Are you vacating all the scheduling order dates?
Yes.
Your Honor, will we deal with Mr. Johnson's summary judgment motion at that 3 weeks, or do you want to? To me, it just seems like it makes sense to argue that summary judgment motion.
Well, we'll do the we can do the summary judgment at that time, but first, I want to this dismissal of my whether or not I have jurisdiction. First.
Yes, sir.
So we will continue to Thursday, January 27th at 10 a.m.
May I just have a moment to pull up? Yes, Your Honor. Thank
you. Okay. We'll see everybody on the 27th.
Yes, sir.
Understood.
Thank you.
We're off the record at 10:56 a.m. Thank you, everyone.